Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 35, Mizmor Lamed Hey. As opposed to Psalm 34, which was completely written in Nistar, when he was talking about God, not directly, Psalm 35 is entirely Nochach, present, speaking to God, using God's name and saying and speaking in one voice to him. This long psalm goes through twists and turns from the first words, which ask God to fight his battles, to the final one, which aspires to spend the whole day singing God's praise. Amos Chacham divides the psalm into three sections. The first 10 psukim are a prayer for the downfall of his enemies, while the middle section, are a complaint about his traitorous enemies and a plea for salvation. The final section is a prayer that instead of being ridiculed by his enemies, he will hear the praise from his adherents about the salvation from God. The first verse begins in a rather poetic way. It says, "LeDavid, Riva Adonai et Yirivai, Lachom et Lechamai." In Hebrew, that's a play on words twice. To David, fight God my fights, or strive God with those who strive with me. In terms of the word riva, Ibn Ezra, a commentator and a grammarian in the 11th century, focus often on words and their meanings. He offers two interpretations. First, he says that perhaps the word riv and yirivai are an example of a word and its inversion. Now, this is quite an interesting phenomenon in the Hebrew language, where a single word might have opposite definitions. Ibn Ezra suggests proof for this from the word shov, which on one context means to stay, and another context means to return. How can you say shov means to stay and also to return? Because this has this inversion definition that has some words part of that. I also found a remarkable example in the word chesed. We all take the word chesed to mean kindness or goodness, but in one incontrovertible example, it means the opposite, an abomination. The example is v'isha sheikach et achoto. The person sleeps with his sister, it says chesed hu. In the end, Ibn Ezra rejects it, saying it's actually two different root words, riv and yiriv, means fight and an enemy. The pasuk continues poetically and says lechom lechamai, which means battle, my battle, which Radak says is a repetition of the idea in different words. He often employs this concept called kefil davar b'milim shanot, classic comment to the Radak, who says much of biblical poetry uses this technique. The next verses say the following, Hachazek magen v'tzina v'kuma be'ezrati, v'arek chanit uskor likrat rodfai, emor l'nafshi yishuatcha ani. Take hold of a shield and buckler and rise up to my help. This English translation is from alhatorah.org. Draw out also the spear and block those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Very strong, powerful words, these eight verses call out to God in desperation, describe the exact way in which God should rain down calamity on his enemies. He tells of those who chase him, seek his soul, think evil of him. To them he asks that God shame them, confuse them, and push them away, make them scatter, bring them darkness upon their way, and become chaste themselves. It's interesting that we see David asking God for exact retribution several times. He says, they who chase me, let the angel chase them. In verse 7, they set a trap and plan his demise. So in verse 8, he asked their destruction to befall them unbeknownst to them. In other words, they're strategizing and planning, their destruction should be without even their knowledge. The conclusion of the sequence is David's wishing to see the manifestation of his joy at the end of this difficult journey, his soul rejoicing with God, with his salvation. V'nafshi tagil badonai tasis vishuato. A beautiful pasuk. It seems like a lovely culmination. God is going to destroy my enemies, and then my soul will dance. rejoice in salvation. The next verse continues the theme, and it's so powerful, it became adopted in the Shabbat Tfilah of Nishmat. Kol atzmotai tomana Adonai mechamocha, matzil ani mechazak v'menu v'ani v'evyon migozlo. I will reach such a state of connection with God that all my bones will declare God who is like you, who saves the poor man from the oppressor, the vulnerable from the one who steals. The notion of all my bones declare, kol atzmotai, finds expression in the Gemara and in practical halacha. There is a notion that when praying, one should move or sway. This stems from the idea that in this pasuk here, that all of your bones should sing to God. Now, as with many psalms, a mini section reaches a lovely crescendo, seemingly concluding the idea. And then he goes into the next section, deeper into the sordid details of his suffering. It, I believe, gives the effect of an unrequited desire that David is dreaming, he prays and he hopes for, and then another wave of treachery and sadness overcomes him. Yikmun edei chamas asher lo yadati yishaluni, unrighteous witnesses rise up. Yishalmuni ra'atach hatovah shachol nafshi, they repay me evil for good, and bereavement comes to my soul. Vani bechalotam levushisa kaniti betzom nafshi tfilati al chekot tashuv. Now when they were sick, I wore sackcloth, I sat and fast, I prayed. I went about as though I'd been my friend or my brother. I bowed down mournful as though one mourns for his mother. Now, as opposed to my oppressors who rejoiced in my pain, says the psalmist, I was in a saddened state when they were sick. I was wearing sackcloth. I was fasting. These must have been enemies who were Israelites, with whom he had a relationship, who were probably close to him, such that there was still sympathy that he felt that he should have had towards them when they were in pain. They, on the other hand, had no compassion for him during his time of distress. Uvitzali, when I stumbled, samchu v'nesfu, nesfu alai nechim b'lo yadati karu v'lo damu. They rejoiced and gathered themselves. The deplorable gathered themselves together against me, and those whom I do not know tear me and do not cease. The profanest mockeries at feast, they gnash at me with their teeth. Then once again, he turns to God and calls out to him, Adonai, kama tireh hashiva nafshi mishoehem mikfirin yichadati. God, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction. He then offers his personal vow for the forthcoming salvation. He says, Odcha b'kahal rav b'amatsum ahalaleka. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among numerous people. This reminds us of the vow that Yaakov, who upon waking from his dream, makes a vow that if God provides for him, he will return to his father's home and proclaim God as his Lord. David intersperses this psalm, which is filled with pleading with God and describing his suffering. He intersperses it with vows to God, dreams of rejoicing and desiring to be judged. The final section of the psalm begins with his enemies and ends with himself rejoicing in God's comforting embrace. The first four verses describe the terrible situation his enemies are causing him. In the fifth verse, he mentions judgment. The second half of the section, he takes the next step, saying, judge me, God. And from there, his attitude changes from ambivalence and despair to confidence in God's salvation, joy, and the readiness to sing God's praises. Let not those who are wrongfully my enemies rejoice over me. Do not let those that hate me without a cause wink in the eye, for they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful matters against those who are in quiet in the land. You have seen Hashem. Do not keep silent. God, do not be far from me. Rise up, awake to my judgment. Judge me, God, according to your righteousness, and do not let them rejoice over me. Let those that rejoice at my hurt be ashamed and abashed together. Let those that magnify themselves against me be clothed with shame and confusion. Let those that delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad. Let them say, magnified is God who delights in the peace of his servant. My tongue will speak of your righteousness, and of your praise all day. Amos Chacham suggests that the psalm is about someone who feels his closest friends and confidants turned on him and became evil enemies. These enemies are described as evil adversaries in battle, but also as evil witnesses trying to convict him. The psalmist turns directly to God for salvation, prays, supplicates, vows, and asks to be judged. All this leading to a positive attitude, ensuring himself at the end of God's salvation.